Welcome back to He Leadeth Me, a spiritual formation podcast for focused staff, students, and friends. I'm Jessica, manager of spiritual formation, and today I'm joined by Father James Brent. Father James is a Dominican friar and a professor at the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C. Father James, it's great to have you with us again.
Thanks, Jesse. It's great to be back on the show with you.
So, Father James, we're doing this series on the liturgy, and I wanted to talk with you specifically about how the Mass is a sacrifice. It seems to me that throughout history, different generations have emphasized certain understandings of the Mass more than others, like the Mass is a sacrifice, the Mass is a celebration, or the Mass is a gathering of the Christian faithful. And growing up, my experience was that we really emphasized the Mass is a gathering of the Christian faithful. And so the priest would preach on community during the homilies, and we'd sing these songs about, you know, like, we are the people of God and all are welcome, gather us in. And so that was the understanding that I grew up with. But more and more, I feel like I'm hearing priests emphasize to the people that the Mass is a sacrifice. So could you explain some of that theology to us and why it's important for us to understand the Mass as a sacrifice?
Sure. It's a good question. It's a great question. It's very important for us to understand it. John Paul II, in one of the later encyclicals in his pontificate on the Eucharist, really emphasized the need to recover the sense of the Eucharistic sacrifice. He was aware, well aware, that the Christian people had become submerged in a sense of the Eucharist or of the Mass as a community gathering or a community celebration or even as kind of self-celebration. And he had the awareness, the understanding that the people really, really needed to get clear once again on the truth that the Eucharist is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself being offered to the Father for the life of the world. And that when we go to Mass, we are coming to participate in Christ's own sacrifice to the Father. That sense had been all very deeply eroded in the minds of the Christian people, and there was a great need to recover it. And so John Paul II emphasized this, and ever since then, I've been happy to see that there's been more talk of the Eucharistic sacrifice. The expression, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, is starting to occur once again. It used to be much more common. I know a parish, a great parish, where everyone in the parish, the priests, beginning with the priests, they always speak of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. They never shorten it and call it just the Mass. They call it the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I think that's a great custom. We all really need that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you were saying that sometimes the attitude of the people can almost be like self-exalting or self-reflective when they're focusing only on the community aspects. And sometimes I've gone to Mass and we've sung all these songs about being community and things, and it's made me uncomfortable because it seems like we're looking more at ourselves than at God. But in my role as manager of spiritual formation, I've talked a lot with our missionaries and students about the liturgy. And they all have a really warm feeling towards Eucharistic adoration. And they'll talk about why they go to Eucharistic adoration. And it's interesting to me when they talk about why they go to Mass, they'll say, because it's really Jesus. And that's a beautiful point. It is really Jesus. Sure. But all of the emphasis seems to be on, I go to Mass to receive Holy Communion. And there seems to me like there's something off there. Can you speak into that?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question. Once upon a time, it was very common for Catholics to have a sense that there was great worth and great value to going to Mass, even if you didn't receive Holy Communion. In fact, once upon a time, I mean, it was common to go to Mass and see large numbers of people not receiving Holy Communion. There was a much more extensive rule about fasting, for example, before the Mass. And people also had a stronger sense that if you have grave sin on your conscience, you definitely should refrain from receiving Holy Communion until you confess the sin. And so for those reasons, people would stay away. They would refrain from receiving Holy Communion, but they still had a strong sense it was a good thing to go to Mass. It was worth going to Mass just to be there with Christ in his sacrifice. And that sense has been almost all but eroded. And now a lot of people, it would seem very, very strange to them. Like, why would you even go to Mass if you were not going to receive Holy Communion? Like, what's the point? That's the mentality of a lot of Catholics now. And we need to distinguish, to use the language of theology, we need to distinguish between the Eucharist as a sacrament and the Eucharist as sacrifice. And this distinction is very important. So we're accustomed to thinking of the Eucharist as sacrament. And there has been a great deal of preaching about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, although it's never enough, really. And the practice of Eucharistic adoration has helped to revive, for a lot of people, the faith in the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. So when we talk about the Eucharist as sacrament, we're talking about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. So when the priest at the Mass says, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood," we now have Christ himself present on the altar, sometimes called the sacrament of the altar. And that's the sacrament. It's the real presence of Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. It's no longer bread. It's no longer wine. It's Christ himself with us in a sacramental mode, and he's there. That's the sacrament. And what adoration does is it takes the sacrament and places the sacrament before us for our adoration, our worship. And that helps us to respond deeply to the truth and the mystery of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and to get clear on the reality of the sacrament, that it's really him. Okay, that's only one side of the mystery of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the sacrament, the blessed sacrament, the sacrament of the altar, the sacrament of charity. It's really him. But there's another side to the same mystery, which we're getting at here in our conversation today, which is the Eucharist as sacrifice. And the Eucharist as sacrifice is the same mystery of the Eucharist, but now viewed from another angle. It's viewed from the point of view of Jesus Christ offering himself to the Father in salvation, for the salvation of the world. So it's an action that Jesus Christ himself carries out. So the sacrifice is offered first and foremost on Calvary. That's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He offered himself to the Father on the cross for the life of the world. Now, after Christ died and God raised him from the dead, he ascended into heaven. The way the letter to the Hebrews depicts his ascension is he enters into the eternal sanctuary. And there in the eternal sanctuary on high, he offers himself to the Father. We could understand that as Jesus showing his glorified wounds to the Father and saying, in the eternal sanctuary, the same thing he said on Calvary, which is, "I'm yours." That's the essence of sacrifice. The essence of sacrifice is to say, "I'm yours." So out of love, out of obedience, Christ says to the Father, "I'm yours. I'm yours in life. I'm yours in death. I'm yours in glory." That is the sacrifice of Christ. So the sacrifice happened on Calvary, and it's still going on in the eternal sanctuary. Even now, in the state of the ascension, or in the ascended state, Christ, the eternal high priest, continues to offer himself to the Father to show his glorified wounds. And that sacrifice has effects. Its primary effect is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the world, and the Spirit comes and converts hearts and works the renewal, the saving renewal of souls in this world through the sacraments, and also through, well, the Spirit blows where he wills. The same sacrifice is being offered at every single Mass here on earth, because Jesus Christ, before he died on the cross, rose from the dead and ascended into the eternal sanctuary, he devised a means, he established a means for his same act, that same act, which is both on Good Friday and in the eternal sanctuary, to be perpetuated or enacted at different times and locations on the earth. And that, what he invented or devised, we could say, what he established was the Eucharist as the way for other people at other times and other places to participate, enter in, and to offer the same act, to enact the same sacrifice here on the earth. So what happens is, because of the ordination of the priests, he has received a certain sacramental character, the character of the priesthood, the high priesthood of Jesus Christ, Christ as head of the church. When the priest celebrates the Mass and confects the Eucharist, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, he also walks through the whole liturgical action, and you have Christ in the priest offering Christ on the altar to the Father. Now, and that's exactly the same act that happened on Calvary, and it's happening in the eternal sanctuary. It's happening in a different mode. It's happening in the mode of, well, liturgy and sacrament, sacramental action. So when you go to Mass, you're going to the same event that took place on Good Friday. Not a numerically different event, the same event. And you're going to the same event that's taking place now in the eternal sanctuary. Not a numerically different event, the same event. Another way to get at this is to ask the question, who offers the sacrifice? And the answer is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the primary celebrant of every Mass. The priest is his instrument through which he does it, but Christ is the primary celebrant. The priest is someone whose voice and whose gestures he borrows for purposes of enacting the same sacrifice here and now, like at St. Leo's at 8:30 in the morning. So when we go to Mass, because of your baptismal character, all who are baptized can go to the Mass and they can actually participate in the same sacrifice.
That is such a stunning thought. I mean, to think that when I go to daily Mass in our Focus Chapel, I'm actually entering into heaven where Jesus is offering the sacrifice of his life to the Father again. And I'm actually at the foot of Calvary. Absolutely. I mean, that's just incredible. And, you know, with what you were saying, like people can sometimes say, well, if I can't receive communion, what's the point? Our missionaries sometimes bring students who either are not Catholic or they are not in a place where they can receive Holy Communion. And so the missionaries tell them not to. And a lot of times they'll respond with, that makes me feel left out because everybody else receives communion. And when the line comes to me, I just sit there. And if we told them more about how they're entering into heaven and Jesus is offering this sacrifice and we are participating in that, I think they wouldn't feel so left out anymore. I mean, obviously, you want to receive communion, but at the same time, what you are participating in is such an incredible reality that, I mean, we are spanning the distances of ages and being present at Jesus's sacrifice at Calvary. That's incredible.
It is incredible. All the points that you just made are true. It's a great thing just to be there. And we should be telling this to people, especially those that are not Catholics and can't receive a Holy Communion, because that's a sign of complete initiation into the Catholic Church. But we should pause for a moment and ask ourselves, you know, for whom do we go to Mass? Not just why do we go, but for whom? Are we going for our own sake, or are we going for God? And there is, I'm convinced, a secret kind of egocentrism or self-seeking that is in our souls very deeply. We've all got it. It's a result of the fall of Adam and Eve, and it's at work in us in various ways, and it corrupts our motives. And we need to pause and say, okay, what is God worth? And what is God worth? Isn't God worth it that you and I would be inconvenienced a little bit and lose a little bit of time each day or each Sunday just to go there? I mean, isn't God worth it? Isn't he worth it? Or isn't God worth, you know, our acts of contrition during the penitential rite? Isn't God worth that? Just say, sorry, I know I've messed up, I've sinned, God, and I'm sorry. I mean, isn't God worth it?
That is so convicting.
And what about just listening to the readings? Like, he's going to speak to us. Like, isn't God worth listening to in the readings and in the homily? And so far as he speaks through the priest, I mean, isn't God worth it? And isn't God worth praising, like in the Gloria? You know, if it's a feast day or a solemnity, we say the Gloria. Isn't God worth praising just because he's God? And isn't the act of love by which he redeemed the world, his sacrifice, isn't his sacrifice just worth it? Like, just to be there, isn't he worth it? Like, he loved us so. Do we love him so? I mean, isn't he worth it for us just to be there, to take part, to join him in this great act of offering the sacrifice to the Father? And just isn't the Father worth it? Isn't the Son's saving work worth our participation and our presence? So even if you couldn't receive Holy Communion, I mean, suppose you were going to go, you were sick and you needed to get a surgery or something, and the doctors say, okay, no, nothing by mouth, you know, for the next 24 hours because you're going to have surgery. But suppose there's a mass being offered in the chapel in the hospital before your surgery. I mean, wouldn't it be worth going to the mass, even though you couldn't receive Holy Communion? Wouldn't it be worth going to the mass just for God, just because God is good and he's worth it?
That is so true. And it really cuts through our modern mentality of, what am I getting out of this? You know, you hear so often people say, I'm just not getting anything out of Mass. It isn't about you.
Right. And when we switch over to this idea that God is worth it, you are getting, in a way, secretly, something out of it. You're getting the dethronement of your ego.
That's so true. Now, Father, you mentioned how it's really Jesus who celebrates the Mass and he borrows the priest. But how is it that lay people participate in the Mass? Do you have any advice for somebody who wants to enter more deeply into the Mass and especially into the sacrifice of the Mass?
That's a great question. I'm really glad you asked. The popes for the last many, many decades have been urging the people, we could even say for the last century, really, have been urging the people to learn to participate in the Mass more, we could say, intentionally. Okay. They were doing this before the Second Vatican Council. The documents of the Second Vatican Council repeat the same themes. And then the popes since the Second Vatican Council have repeated the same themes. The people need to learn to participate in the sacrifice of the Mass in their own way, according to their royal priesthood or the dignity that they have simply as baptized Catholics. So how do you do that? What's the way? There's an old mnemonic device that the sisters used to use in generations gone by when they were catechizing Catholic kids. And they would say, when you go to Mass, you should play your part, P-A-R-T. What does that stand for? Petition, adoration, reparation, and thanksgiving. So these four things, petitioning, adoration, reparation, and thanksgiving, that's your part. So you need to play your part at Mass. The way that, let's go into those, because what they really are is they're the same dispositions as Jesus Christ himself as he offers the sacrifice. What you're doing is you're acquiring or receiving or taking on the attitude or the dispositions, the activities of Jesus as he's offering his sacrifice to the Father, people are called to take those dispositions on and live according to them, live them out. So play your part at Mass. First, there's petitioning. Jesus Christ petitioned, you know, and petitions in his sacrifice. So right now, as he stands in the eternal sanctuary before the Father, showing his wounds, he intercedes. He asks for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the world, and the Spirit comes. So he petitions. We petition at Mass in the external rites. There's the prayers of the faithful after the Creed on Sundays. But there's also intercessions in the Eucharistic prayer after the institution narrative. Okay, so there's two times in the liturgy where petitions are offered, and we should have a spirit of petitionary prayer and an intention, like a deliberate intention, like I'm actually going to ask God for the very things that are going to be asked in this Mass. And plus, I'm bringing my own petitions, my personal petitions, my private petitions. I'm going to bring them with me, and I'm going to ask, and I'm going to ask big when I'm at Mass. And we can definitely say that when petitions are raised up in the context of the Mass, they're going to have a greater efficacy than when they're offered up merely privately. I think we can say that. So there's petitioning. We join Christ in his great petition for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the world. Because really with the gift comes the answer to all of our prayers, really. Then there's adoration. Adoration. Now, when we think adoration, we generally think Eucharistic adoration, exposition. But really, adoration is an activity where we acknowledge the greatness of God, the attributes of God, and we acknowledge them through some kind of word or gesture, some outward sign. So another way to think of it is praise, really. But we have to acknowledge God and the greatness of God. And so really a way to think about adoration is it's telling God who he is. God, you are good. God, you are loving. God, you are all powerful. God, you are amazing. God, you are full of merciful love. You are full of grace upon grace. That's adoration. That's praise. You're telling God who he is. God wants his creatures, his rational creatures, human persons, to tell him who he is. And we can do so with our words, like I was just doing, or we can do so through gestures. We can stand. We can kneel. In the Liturgy of the Hours, we have profound bows and things like that. So we need to adore God. And Christ is ever adoring the Father. And we should enter into his we should enter into his spirit of adoration and adore God ourselves along with him. So that's adoration. There's also reparation. Reparation. So on Calvary, when Christ offers his sacrifice, he makes satisfaction for sins. The gift of himself that he offers to the Father out of love is so pleasing to the Father that it's literally a good that outweighs all the offensiveness of all sins of all times and places by all peoples, actual or possible. That's the greatness of the sacrifice. It makes satisfaction for all the sins of the world. Okay. Now, there's a Protestant way of thinking about the satisfaction of Christ, which goes like this: Jesus Christ made satisfaction on the cross, therefore I don't have to.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
That's not the Catholic way of understanding the sacrifice of Christ or his satisfaction. The Catholic understanding is this: Jesus Christ made satisfaction on the cross, therefore, you get to as well. Your sufferings, your pain, your sorrow, your offering of yourself to the Father now takes on an efficacy that is otherwise would have been impossible if Christ had not offered himself on the cross. And your offering of yourself and your sufferings and your life actually becomes a part of his. So we can actually make satisfaction for our own sins and the sins of others because we're doing so through Christ, with Christ, in Christ. It's all one gigantic, mysterious, sacrificial offering to the Father, which is both on Calvary and at our masses, all in one. Okay? So we need to go to Mass with the understanding that we are going to offer our lives, our sufferings, out of love and obedience to the Father, to offer it all to him as a sacrifice for the life of the world. A sacrifice that would have availed nothing had Christ not died. But because he has died, now it makes a difference, a huge difference in the salvation of the world. Okay?
Wow.
Catholics have almost no sense of this anymore. They used to. They used to understand what it means to offer it up. But that has really faded from our awareness of things. But we need to make reparation for the sins of the world and for the life of the world when we go to Mass. That's the third. And then the fourth is thanksgiving. That's what Eucharist means. It's thanksgiving. So thanking God for all that he is and all that he has done for us, thanking him for creating the world. Every blessing of nature is a gift from God. And thanking him for sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save us. And thanking him for the grace we've received. We've all received grace upon grace. So many absolutions. So many times we've been forgiven. So many graces through Holy Communion. So many graces. Every time, you know, we do some Lectio Divina or pray a rosary, we've been blessed with innumerable graces in our life. But so rarely do we thank him. So we need to thank him for all of it, for the world, for redemption, for grace. So when we go to Mass, to participate in the sacrifice of the Mass, it's as simple as playing your part, petition, adoration, reparation, and thanksgiving.
That used
to be something that they would teach like fifth graders, you know, that was like basic ground level catechetical understanding. Unfortunately, it's not anymore, but it needs to become that again.
That's true. It does. And it's so simple, and yet it really guides our participation in the Mass. And if you're thinking of that acronym when you go to Mass and maybe your mind wanders or something, you can come back to that acronym and say, okay, what am I doing? What do I need to be doing? How can I participate in the Mass right now?
One can grow into it more deeply. You can start to realize and even ask for the grace to participate in Christ's own activity of petitioning,
yes,
adoring, repairing, and thanking. And then things really start moving.
Yes. This makes me so excited to go to Mass.
I hope so. What could be better? I mean, it's the most important event that will happen every day on the face of the earth. You know, people, we think that what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. or on Wall Street, those are like the really important events. No. The Mass is the most important event that will ever happen in every day in the history of the world.
Yes. Well, I hope it makes our listeners excited to go to Mass too. And I hope that they use your acronym the next time they go to Mass. Father James, could you offer a blessing for our listeners?
Sure, my joy. May Almighty God bless you and all of your listeners. May the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ come down upon you, cleanse and purify you. May the Spirit of the living God rush upon you and begin to form in your hearts a new understanding of the sacrifice of the Mass and a new thirst to join Jesus Christ in worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth at every Mass you attend. May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father James, for joining us.
My joy. Thanks for having me.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. Amen.